glad that you're here. Glad for everyone to join us this morning, those who are here in person, those who are joining us online. Welcome. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3 and finishing up Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, our Covenant Sunday verse, and remind us to trust in the Lord. And so let's say all this together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. I'm going to finish up just talking about this beautiful, beautiful verse. This trust is really where God wants us to live. And let me just remind you of this definition of trust, because this is the place that I want to be. I find myself not there often, too often. And I want to be in this place. I want to feel this sense of well-being. I want to feel this sense that I can live in confidence that God is going to take care of things, that he's going to provide a way, that he is the way maker. I want to feel safe and secure. I don't want to be overwhelmed with all of these anxieties and concerns in life. And so this is where this proverb, this is where scripture is taking us to really trust in the Lord, to trust, to have confidence in God. That's what he wants for us. To trust in the Lord, Yahweh, the all-wise, all-loving, and all-powerful being. Be careful who you trust. The proverb calls us not to trust in the things of this world, but to put our trust in this all-loving, all-powerful, all-wise God. And it's got to be with all of our hearts. It's got to be with every fiber of our being. And sometimes that is contradictory to what our mind is telling us. We're reminded that God doesn't always make sense to us. And so we don't lean on our own understanding. We recognize that we're not able to grasp everything. The very nature of trust is asking you to do something that doesn't seem logical to you, to do something that contradicts your own understanding. So lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, every aspect of your life, submit to him or acknowledge him. In every aspect of your life, come into a deeper and deeper knowledge of God, the God that loves you, the God that cares for you, the God that is going to guide you. And so let's get to that last phrase. Because with every proverb, there comes a promise. And here's the promise to this proverb, is he will make your path straight. Well, the word path, of course, can be literal, and it's used in Scripture in a literal sense. But in the book of Proverbs, the word path is used figuratively describing our lives. We're all on this path. And the word straight in Scripture can be used literally as well, but in the case of the Proverbs, it's used figuratively as well. And this straight path can mean several different things. It can mean righteousness. It can be a smooth path. It can be an easy path. It can be a successful or even a prosperous path. Let me show you this other proverb, Proverbs 2, 12 through 15, which uses these same terms to describe our life and the choices that we make. Wisdom. The book of Proverbs is all about wisdom. It says, wisdom will save you from the ways of the wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths, the righteous paths, to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are not straight, but they're crooked, and who are devious in their ways. And so this Proverbs is saying that when we trust in the Lord, he's going to make our paths, our life, straight. But what exactly does that mean? And so that's what I wanted to look at today is, what does it mean? What does this promise mean to us that God will make our paths straight? So let me share three different insights into what this means. First, I think this proverb is saying is that trusting God is going to lead to a good life. It's going to be beneficial to us when we put our trust in God. The things will go well with you. Trusting God is a good way to live and will lead to good things. He will not deny us any good thing, as Lance brought out in his welcome. This is how the New Century Version takes it. As it translates this last phrase of our passage, it says, remember the Lord in all you do, and he will give you success. He will make your path straight. Things will go well with you. But this is a theme of several other proverbs. If you go the way of wisdom, which includes trusting God, then that's going to have a positive result in your life. And here are some examples. Proverbs 10 and verse 27. The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. Proverbs 13, 25. The righteous eat to their heart's content, but the stomach of the wicked goes hungry. Proverbs 3, 1 through 2. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. And so this is really what the Proverbs are all about. We're going to give you wisdom so that you can make wise decisions, and that's going to have a positive effect in your life. And so trusting God is going to be good for you. Similar statements are made in the New Testament. I love this passage from Paul. He's writing to Timothy. He says, for physical training is of some value. We all know that if we take care of our bodies, then there are going to be some positive results. We'll feel better, we'll live longer, we'll be more productive. And Paul acknowledges that. Physical training is of some value, but he says godliness, which I imagine would include trusting God and obeying him. He says godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And so there are some advantages in living a godly life, even in this life. And Jesus seems to insinuate that or teach that as well. Listen to this, these words of Jesus in Mark chapter 10. He says, truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel, he says, part of becoming a disciple means that you say no to some things, even sever some of these relationships. But he says there's a promise with that. He says, whoever has done that, who has really trusted in me to such an extent that they have sacrificed or put away some of these relationships for the kingdom of heaven, he says they will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. He says you're going to be blessed by that. And he says homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, all of those things are going to be replaced with blessings in your life. Jesus does say, along with persecutions, he does not deny the fact that following him is going to lead to some trials in our life. But he says, we're going to be so blessed in this life and in the age to come, in eternal life. And even in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus has just talked about all these things that we worry about. What we'll eat, what we'll drink, all of these concerns in our life. And he says, don't worry about those things. And then he concludes that section where he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Live your life. Your path needs to be focused on the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said, all these things will be given to you as well. All your needs are going to be met. You're going to be brought to this place of peace, well-being, of safety, and security. Jesus acknowledges that following me is going to be a blessing in your life. Now, interestingly, there are actual studies outside of biblical studies. There are psychological studies, sociological studies that bear out that very support. I have a link in the notes to a blog that I wrote several years ago that has further links to several studies that have been done that say, hey, living a religious life, living a spiritual life is actually good for you. And here are some of the names of the study of the articles that relate to these studies. Why do people of faith live longer? It tells you why. Five surprising health benefits of church attendance. Did you know that by being in church today, you are doing something good for your health? Should you raise your kids religious? Here's what the science says. And of course, that goes on to say about the benefits of raising your children in a spiritual environment. Now, these articles don't necessarily give a preference to Christianity over other spiritual paths, but of course, Christianity is included in that. He says, hey, if you're a parent, one of the best things you can do for your kids is to have them in church, to have them in some spiritual community. And of course, I would argue that Christianity is the path that we should take. Another article, how declining church attendance harms society. So this looks into how the fact that people are not going to church as often as they used to, how that has some sociological effects in our communities. And then the last one is religion may be a miracle drug. You know, always looking for that one thing that's going to make everything better in our lives. And this article argues, you know what? Going to church, being a spiritual person, may be that miracle drug that you are looking for. And so the Bible says, follow me, trust in me, and you're going to experience benefits. The world is even observing that spiritual people reap a benefit in their life. And that's what this proverb says. That's the promise. Your paths will be made straight. There'll be some level of success in your life because you've put your trust in God. Now, you may be thinking, Todd, that all sounds really good, but it doesn't always work, does it? On a case-by-case basis, are there exceptions to this? And this is why we need to understand the nature of what the Proverbs really are. So here's a good definition of the term proverb. The definition of proverb is a short, pithy saying stating a general truth or piece of advice. Proverbs are meant to convey common wisdom or prudent counsel about how the world usually works. They're not promises or guarantees about how the world will always work in every specific situation, but are reliable guidelines to live by based on how things normally happen under most circumstances. And so, are there exceptions? Do righteous people sometimes die earlier? Well, of course, we've all experienced that. Do wicked people outlive so many people and experience a degree of prosperity? Well, naturally, we recognize that as well. But the proverb is saying this: you have some level of control over your life and the outcome of your life. You make choices. And the choice to trust God, the choice to submit to Him, is a choice that leads to a good life. Now, the Bible deals with these exceptions. There's a section of Old Testament scripture called the wisdom literature. Proverbs basically is telling us this is how the world normally works. Read through the Psalms and you have people pouring out their souls to God because it doesn't seem like things are working. Why, God, have you forsaken me? Psalm 22. And so Psalms really wrestles with some of the difficulties and the struggles that we go through. And if you really want a book that deals with how things don't work like they normally should work, then read the book of Job. Here's this righteous man who experiences all of this pain. And so Scripture addresses those exceptions as well. But we're in the Proverbs. And the Proverbs say, generally speaking, normally speaking, if you trust God, then your life is going to be better. Bottom line, you have some level of control over your life. Choose wisdom and you increase the probability of a good life here. You get to choose your path. You can choose to make your path straight. I love how the Psalms begin. Psalms 1, 1 through 6. Again, reminding us that we have choices to make and those choices have consequences. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. It says, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers, not so with the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Trust God, and He will make your path straight. I think another thing that this straight path means is that when we trust God, it's going to make life easier insofar as that when we make that one decision, I'm going to trust God, that is going to make other decisions easier in our lives. Because we face choices every day, don't we? So many choices. What path do I take? Should I do this? Should I do that? How should I spend my money? How should I spend my time? How should I use my talent? Who should my inner circle of friends be? Should I get up and go to church today? We make choices all of the time. And so many of those decisions are overwhelming, aren't they? So many choices that we have. Man, I go to the grocery store and it's like crazy. There's so many choices. You have on your grocery list cereal. Well, thanks a bunch. That gives me a whole aisle to go through to provide the regular size, the family style, the family size. I go buy a can of corn. And I get confused, you know, which corn do I buy? The low sodium, the regular, the cream corn? Buy apples. I was buying apples the other day. There's so many choices of apples. And sometimes the multitude of decisions that we have to make almost becomes overwhelming. But if I make a broad-based decision about how I'm going to live my life, that's going to eliminate all of these other decisions that can be so time-consuming and can produce anxiety in our life. For example, this week, after the marriage retreat, I guess it was Basil or Rachel brought back, there were like two or three big bags of candy that were left over from the marriage retreat. Put them in the workroom here off the office, and I walked through that workroom quite a bit. So they're right there, you know, right in front of my face. And there's all kinds. It's not just one candy. It's like one of those multiple variety packs where you get to choose some things. And so sometimes it's hard to make a decision. So I brought some examples here for me, as an illustration. So one thing that made my decision easier is I don't like peanut butter. And so I rule that out. I know, boo, you don't like peanut butter. And so this little peanut butter heart, I don't want it. Make my decision a little easy. These peanut-filled M&Ms, I don't know who came up with that idea, but I don't want them. It's making my life, my decision-making easier because I've decided I'm not going to eat peanut butter. Anybody want some peanut butter over there? Yeah, okay. Oh, a little short there. Oh, boy. Oh, man. There was a lot of wind resistance there as well. Now, that left the choice. Some of my favorites. Milky Ways, Three Musketeers, and Dove Chocolate. These were tough decisions here as well. But what if I made the decision, and this is the season of Lent, let's say hypothetically, I made the decision not to eat chocolate. If I made that decision, then I can walk through that room because I'm not going to be distracted by these other things. And so let's say hypothetically, I decided not to eat chocolate. Then all of these things, I would say, I'm not going to make the decision. All right, let's try to get something over there to you guys. All right, that I could throw these a little bit further there. Oh man, good catch. All right, boy. But you see, what happened over there? We got no fights breaking out there, all right? I didn't take that into consideration. But you see, when we make broad-based decisions in our life to trust God, a lot of these other decisions, we're not even going to entertain them. Let's take going to church on Sunday morning. When you make that decision, I'm going to go to church on Sunday morning. That's part of my life. Then when you wake up on Sunday morning, you don't have to make a decision. Someone calls you and say, hey, we're going to the lake today. Hey, I'm going to a game today, or whatever it is. You say, no, I've made the decision to go to church. And so you've already made the decision not to do anything else. When you wake up in the morning and your body's just tired and you don't want to go to church, you've made that decision. I'm a person who goes to church on Sunday morning. And so you don't entertain those other choices in your life. So you make decisions. If you work, you make the decision to go to work every workday. You make that decision. And so if someone calls you and say, hey, let's do something else, you have to say no, because you've made the decision that you want a job. And so we make these broad-based decisions. If we trust in the Lord our God, a lot of these other decisions, we're not going to be preoccupied with those. It's going to make our life easier. It's going to make our path straight. Roy Disney, the brother of Walt Disney, was very influential in the building of that empire, he made this statement. He says, when your values are clear to you, making decisions becomes easier. Someone commenting on that said, making value-based decisions removes much of the stress and pressure of making decisions in the moment. When you hold your options or choices up to the mirror of your values, the right choice quickly becomes obvious. Proverbs addresses this in Proverbs 4, 25 through 27. Wisdom says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make some decisions in your life about who you are and what you're going to do, and keep your gaze on those values. Give careful thought to the paths, your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. So don't turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. So when we are fixated on God's will, there are so many things that will no longer be appealing to us. We become single-minded. Our path becomes straight. Life becomes a little bit easier. Let me use another example, going down to Dallas. Occasionally, we'll go down to Dallas for one reason or another. Getting out of Dallas is not so fun. I don't know my way around Dallas. And so you set the GPS. When you're just getting out of Dallas, like turn left here, turn right here, get in the left lane, get in the right lane. It's really stressful. And as odd as it may sound, I feel so relieved when I finally get on Highway 75 because I know my path is straight. Man, if you trust in the Lord, your life is going to be easier because you won't have to make all these other decisions because you are single-minded in your life. Your path is straight. Don't you hate it when those GPSs constantly tell you what to do? Yeah. All of a sudden, you're right. Turn right. You know, turn left. You know, it's just very frustrating. It produces anxiety. God says, trust me. It's going to be so much easier in your life. You'll be single-minded. Psalm 119. 127, 128. Because I love your commands, because I value your commands, I value your instruction even more than gold, even pure gold, and because I consider all your precepts right, because I've made those decisions, I hate every wrong path. I've eliminated every wrong path in my life. Trust in the Lord, and He will make your path straight. When you trust God wholeheartedly, decision-making becomes so much easier. All right, so the promise of this proverb, this is going to be good for you. Trusting God is going to be good for you. Generally speaking, the vast majority of lives, when you follow the path of God, you're going to have a good life. It's going to make life easier. You won't have to make so many other decisions in your life. You'll be clearer minded when it comes to all of these choices that we face. Then the third thing, trusting God means that we have a destination. I love this term, path. Isn't that what if you get on a path, you're going somewhere. Path assumes a destination. Those who trust in God, we know that our life is a path that has a destination. Those who have no trust in God really have no destination. There's no goal to life. And that's one of the saddest things about not believing. You're not going anywhere. Your life is not going anywhere at all. Your life is just a path to nowhere. It's not even a path. It's more like a treadmill. You're not making any progress whatsoever. And so this term path reminds us that we are on a journey to a destination, that life is not meaningless. Life has a purpose. Life has a goal. Look at Proverbs 15:24. The path of life leads upward. That Hebrew word that's translated there, upward, is translated in other passages as heaven. The path of life, you've got a destination. You're going somewhere. You're going upward. You're going towards heaven. The path of life leads upward for the prudent, for the wise people, for those who trust in God. And it keeps you from going down the realm of death. So this life of trust in God puts you on this path upward to life, not to death. We have a destination. We're going somewhere. And we've been confident of that destination. Paul was. Listen to these words of Paul. He says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near." He says, "I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." But it wasn't all about just fighting. It wasn't all about running. It wasn't all about keeping the faith. He said, "I was doing all that in view of a destination, for there is now in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. In Philippians chapter 3, he says, not that I have already obtained all of this. I'm not there yet. I haven't arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. You know, sometimes the only thing that keeps us going on this path and trusting God is to know that there's a destination waiting for us. And when things don't go as planned, when we are the Job, when we are the psalmist crying out to God, we're reminded that there is a goal to our life. And so we don't give up. We don't get distracted by evil because we know that we're going somewhere. He says, brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining toward what is ahead, he says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So when you trust in God, you know that you're on a path. You know that you have a destination to look forward to. Trusting in God, it's a wise way to live. I can testify, it hasn't made my life perfect. Well, naturally, my life is not perfect. No one's life is perfect. But I can honestly say that as I have trusted in God, and as Paul, certainly I've not reached that goal. Certainly I've not obtained all of that. But I can see in my life, when I have trusted God, things have gone well for me. It'll make decision-making easier for you, man. You'll just be single-minded, man. You're just going to be on that path. You're not going to be distracted by all of these other choices. And it promises a destination. I decided to write my own translation of Psalm 3, 5 through 6. I call it Todd's Amplified Version. So as we wrap up this section of Scripture, let me share with you this translation of those verses. Put your confidence in the all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful God and trust Him with every fiber of your being. Trust Him even when what He's telling you doesn't make sense to you. Remember, you don't know everything. And because of that, your judgments are not always right. So don't even trust your understanding of things. And this trust applies to every aspect of your life, everywhere you go, everything you say, every relationship that you have. They are all governed by your trust in God. Submit your entire life to Him. Because you know Him. You know that He loves you. He's shown that over and over, hasn't He? If you live this life of trust, you will be guided by God to a place of powerful peace and well-being. You will live the life you've always wanted, now and forevermore. Let's bow in a prayer, and then Basil will lead us in a song. Let's pray. Father God, help us to know You, to know that You have our best interest at heart, that You love us more than anyone else loves us. You understand us more than anyone else. Father, the wisest person that this world can present, that wisdom does not compare to Your wisdom. So, Father, forgive us. Forgive us when we listen to ourselves. Forgive us when we listen to other people in ways that contradict what You're telling us. And so, Father, just help us to trust You. Father, help us to know that You are all wise, all loving, all powerful. Father, help us not to make an idol out of our own understanding, of our own knowledge, of our own wisdom. But Father, help us to fear You, place our trust and confidence in You in everything. Everything. everything that we say, everywhere we go, every relationship that we have. And Father, even when it doesn't make sense to us, because so many times our minds, our hearts, our very beings have been tainted by sin, by the sinful world that we live in. So we don't see things clearly. We just don't understand things clearly. And so, Father, help us to look to you and to trust that you see things that we don't see. And even when it doesn't make sense to us, Father, we pray that we can really trust in you. Father, we thank you for this great promise. Father, you love us so much. You want to make this life as good as it can be. And Father, we thank you that, Father, as we submit our lives to you, when we seek first your kingdom, Father, help us to believe the words of Jesus. If we seek the kingdom, that everything that we want, everything that we desire will be taken care of. You'll meet every need that we have. And Father, we get so frustrated with decisions because we entertain so many sinful things in our life. And so, Father, help us. Help us just to be single-minded, wholehearted disciples of yours. So when evil comes and invites us to go down their path, we've already said no. When compromise invites us into their house, we've already made a decision not to go through that door. So, Father, help us to enjoy that peace and knowing that we're on this straight path that you've created for us. And, Father God, we thank you so much that this path has a destination. And, Father, we can't wait to be there. Father, we pray that the joy that you have set before us will give us the endurance and the strength to continue on this path of trust, knowing that one day we will be with you forever. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been made whole and pure and innocent. And one day we will be with you. Thank you for that amazing love that you share for us. When we trust in you, we trust in someone who loves us more than we can imagine. And Father, thank you. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.